Noreen Sumter on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. It is Tuesday evening and we are here. This is my favorite time of the week and I'm here to play and have some fun. And this is the time of the week where I always say it's my favorite time of the week, but it is. It is my favorite time of the week because I get to play and I get to be curious about individuals that are I'm curious about and who I want to be on the show. So just before we get started, I just want to share and say thank you to all my guests that came to Chris and I's party on Sunday. It was really great. We had a party on Sunday from 1 till approximately 9 o'clock. And it was really good because the age group of our party was and is between the ages of 20 to 70.
Ooh,
right?
So that's
a huge age range. And it's a wonderful age range. I always think it's really good to have friends of all ages. I always think of, like, if I have little kids now, by the time they get to, like, 40 and stuff, they can take care of and wipe my ass in a nursing home.
Beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
It's a great thing. And but we had a really good time. We had really good food, really good company. It was gratitude for attitude. And everybody wrote what they're grateful for on their on a post-it note, and they posted it on the door. And it was just really, really great. And so I just want to also say that I am really happy and I'm very, very excited because what's going on in my life is lunch lady, feed your brain. <Was it>? Forgotten. I've been doing it all week. Feed your brain, grow your business and your life. Right. But I'm going to actually flip it because I want to say life and your business, because I think life is the things that we create in life. Life gives us business, right? And business feeds our life. So that's why I do that. So I'm really excited about that. I'm having, it's a thought leader conversation. And it's going to be, like, Lunch Lady is going to be awesome because we're going to venture into the conversations that we don't generally have at Lunch and Learns, like women and money. Like, ooh. I somehow find that women have a hard time talking about money. Especially if they're not making a lot. You know, I was listening to somebody yesterday, they were talking to me and they said to me, you know, last year, Noreen, you invited me to a lot of things, but I couldn't go. It's not that I didn't want to go. I couldn't go because I didn't have any money and I felt really ashamed about talking about. And I'm like, one of the things I know for myself, if you have shame and you can't talk about something, you can't release it and you can't let it go. And you definitely can't grow. So it's really important to, like, have conversations about things that are challenging and frightening to us, mm-hmm. so that they don't take root in our being and don't stop us from having the life that we want to live. There are challenges, right? I always say to my clients that you can have a problem. What can you do with a problem? There's nothing. If you say you have a problem, that's what you have. But if you look at it like a challenge, it's something that, like my father always used to say, you can go over it, you can go under it, you can go around it, but you find a way to get out of it. And I think it's really important for us to do that. So when I actually coach with people, I always say to them, you don't have a problem. We don't have problems. We have challenges. And like hurdles, we get over them. Right. You know, so anyway, tonight, say hi, Annette. Tonight, I would like to introduce you all to Precious.
Yes.
Precious, the killer pitch person.
Killer pitch master.
Right. So I'm gonna turn it over to Precious, and she's going to do her spiel that she always does.
No.
Yes, you are. No. You're going to do it because it wouldn't be you if you didn't do it.
Yeah, but I have so many different ones, I didn't know that.
The one that you do, it's like, this is Precious, the killer pitch master.
And Okay. Good evening, everyone. My name is Precious Williams, and I'm the proud founder and CEO of Perfect Pitches by Precious, where I teach the art and the science of the most killer elevator pitches, media pitches, and investor pitches. I'm a 13-time national elevator pitch champion, a serial entrepreneur, and an international professional speaker. So when I tell you I'm not new to this, I'm true to this. And tonight, it's all about true tea. Let's do it.
You remind me of him when you do that. You remind me of, what was his name? The boxing promoter.
Don King. Wow.
Not in a negative way.
Right.
in a very positive way, because he was his own advocate.
Right.
And he was the person that, like, he really stood for himself. And so, and I loved it, like, in the 70s, you know, when Muhammad Ali and Bodini, you know, his sidekick, his hype man, before we had the word hype man. Okay. And Muhammad Ali used to float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. That's why they call me Muhammad Ali.
Yes.
And it's like, rumble, young man, rumble.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rumble in the jungle.
That's
right. Do it.
So when I hear you pitch and talk about who you are, and you're very, very consistent, you never, ever open a conversation without that statement.
True.
Yeah. True. So I've been watching you, girl. Please.
Oh,
we've all been
watching.
So tell us a little bit about you. Who are you? Where do you come from? How, you know, are you a native New Yorker? Are you from, wait,
no.
Your accent
you
is not
who,
native New Yorker.
You know York. Who I am? I call myself the female MacGyver of business.
Okay.
And I am a full, I'm like that full figure diva who's taking on the world and winning.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
And so.
So what happens when you lose weight?
You know, I used to be 327 pounds.
Okay, so what happens when you...
You know, I'm still a full-figured diva. I'm still... Right. I'm a size 16. You know,
right.
I'm still on a steady.
Right.
And I'm from the inner city of St. Louis, Missouri.
Uh-huh.
So I'm from the Show Me State.
Missouri.
So that's where you get... That's where
Missouri.
You get a lot of my attitude from, because I'm from the Show Me State. So you can't... When I first came to New York, people were like, oh, you're definitely not from here. I'm like, no. But I'm a bad one when it comes down to it. I'm real bad. And I have a New York attitude. When I was a little girl.
I don't think you have a New York attitude. I think you have Precious's attitude.
I have Precious's attitude. And so when I was growing up, I grew up with a mother who was very abusive.
Uh-huh.
And so I was always on punishment. I was always in my room. And all I had to read was Harlequin romance novels.
Mm-hmm.
And I would sit there and just imagine my life in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I was 5 years old, my father bought me this cassette tape.
Right.
And it was called Wham, Make It Big.
Uh-huh.
And for some reason, I knew what Make It Big meant.
Uh-huh.
And I was just like, I'm gonna be big. I'm going to be in New York. And I'm going to be like Madonna. I'm going to do all these sort of things. And so to actually live here in New York right now is so crazy
right.
to me. I've been here since 2008.
Okay.
And my grandparents, when I told my grandmother, you know, eventually I would live in New York City, she's like, baby, you from St. Louis. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I said, it's too slow here for me. It's too slow here for me. And she was just like, but baby, you're from St. Louis. I'm like, yeah, but it's a little too slow. Like, I wanted to come to New York because
accent.
I wanted to grow up.
Right.
And when I was growing up, like, okay, so I was with my mom up until I was 12 years old, and my mother tried to murder me on November 18th, 1991.
Right.
And not that I mean to gloss over it, but...
Right.
I went to go live with my father, who was a drug addict, for 3 years. And
mm-hmm.
then my grandparents stepped in when I was 15.
Mm-hmm.
And they raised me until I was 18. And then when I got into Spelman College, I was like, deuces, I'm out.
Right.
And I went to Atlanta.
So what was it? What, you know, because you had this abusive household. You know, your father was a drug addict. But what was it that was in you that had you get to Spelman? Because that's no easy feat.
It's not an easy feat, but my grandmother, from the time I moved into their house, my grandmother had me in front of the mirror telling me, you know, she made me say affirmations. She was like, you're beautiful, you're strong, Oprah's going to know your name. And, you know, I'm saying this in a mirror like, Oprah going to know me. Okay, grandma. But she was on me, and she was like, you have the gift of speech, Precious. When people talk to you, they feel something. You
right.
have an emotional, the way you speak is emotional.
Right.
You're not logical.
Right.
And, you know, little bit by little bit, it really got into
mm-hmm.
me. And we saw a Spelman College on the Oprah Winfrey Show,
mm-hmm.
and she had on then Dr. Janetta B. Cole, and these four beautiful, talented, poised Black women. And I'm from the inner city,
right.
so I didn't grow up with that.
Right.
As great as my grandmother was, I didn't grow up with poised Black women.
Right.
And I said, I want to be like that when I grow up. Now, mind you, we might have all been the same age,
right.
but I was like, I want to be like that. And my grandmother was like, okay. Did we know it was in Atlanta, Georgia? No, because we weren't paying attention to that.
Right.
And when I found out it was in Atlanta, you know, to call long distance, because it was long distance back in the day, and
uh-huh.
I got the Spelman College bulletin, and I slept with it underneath my pillow, and I just imagined myself there, and I imagined myself walking those halls, and I'm a Spelman woman. And you know, the kids in my high school were like, you ain't gonna get in. Nobody here goes to anywhere else but Forest Park Community College. And I was
right.
like, but I'm going. And then when I did get in and I had a full ride and everything, it was such an amazing, I don't mean to get emotional, but I remember I came home because I used to call Spelman every day.
Right.
And I would ask them, did I get in? Did I get in? And you know, they ain't going to let me know.
Right.
I came home one day and my grandmother opened the door. I could hear my grandfather crying. And I went into the kitchen and on the table was all this paperwork. And he said, sit down, Queen Bee.
He called you Queen Bee?
Queen Bee. And I had,
I love your accent.
I had
Queen
a,
Bee.
And it said, congratulations. And Dr. Janetta Cole had written at the bottom of it, welcome to Spelman. And I was looking at my grandfather and my grandmother, and it was such a shock. Mm-hmm. Because I went to school the next day. I said, I got in. I said I would never get in. I'm the smartest of the dumb. I'm a big fish in a small pond in St. Louis, but I did it.
Right.
And, you know, and it was this amazing feeling. And every scholarship I applied for, I got every last one of them. And so it was amazing. And that I have a book, Think and Grow Rich. And I was reading that on the way here. And it was in the first chapter is really about desire. And I was like, I desired Spelman.
Right.
I didn't know what it looked like. I could only look at the bulletin. This is before the internet. This is typing out on typewriters my application.
Right. Jesus.
And it
Christ.
Was better than I ever thought possible. It was better. Better. And I'm the first person in my family to go to school.
To college.
Yes.
Awesome. So we're going to take a break and we'll come right back.
All right.
Is it coming up?
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
So we're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, and I am with Precious, the killer pitch master. I say master.
I'm with it.
You say master. I say master.
I'm with it.
So you're in. You're now in Spelman.
Yes.
How is that? What is that like?
It was such an amazing experience, but the God's honest truth is I made it into the pre-freshman summer science program. Now, let's be honest. Do I look like I understand science and math?
I don't know. I would never judge.
No, I did my best. I did my best.
I
thought, oh my God, if I can't get through this, I'm probably not going to get through college.
Right.
I made it.
So that was one of the first.
It was a summer program,
right.
And so I figured, hey, if I can go to the summer program, then I'm gonna get in early, look at the school and everything.
Right.
So I made it through that summer, and then when I came back in the fall, what was really sad is, see, my grandparents weren't able to be there for the day that the parents let go of the
so
child
on,
or whatever.
So you're on your own.
I was on my own, and it was sad, but I had a lot of my sisters who were just like, "We got you,
right?
We got you," and it was wonderful. Now I did tutoring behind the scenes because I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready for the rigorous educational. Right. I wasn't ready. But I did tutoring. And when I came back, I was in the honors program because that's how hard I worked. Because right. I said, I want to be here and I want to graduate in right. 4 years. And plus that scholarship's at 4 years. So I had to get out in four. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So how did you know that you wanted to be the pitch master?
I didn't know. I did not know that.
So
I
how did you get to that space?
So I started speaking when I was 16 years mm-hmm. old. The principal of my high school just thought I had a great speaking voice mm-hmm. and I was able to articulate in a way that a lot of inner city kids weren't able to. Mm-hmm. When I went to Spelman, I got to go to different schools and talk about the Spelman experience mm-hmm. and, you know, being a first generation.
Like an ambassador?
Like an ambassador, but being a first generation college student, you definitely want to reach out to other first generation right. college students. And I did such a good job, especially in telling the story of how I even got there, that it gave other students the courage and the commitment, like, I can do it too. Mm-hmm. And then when I was in high school, my English teacher used to write my speeches. So when I got to college, I started writing my own and I loved it.
Right.
And little did I know that being a pitch master has always been in me. Mm-hmm. I remember when I met the dean of Georgetown University Law Center mm-hmm. and I was trying to think of how am I going to stand out to this woman who's so used to all of these great students, but somehow I must have said something that right. intrigued her because it was the first school I got into, first mm-hmm. law school I got into. But I think it's always been something in me. I didn't become the pitch master until it was out of necessity, right. until I had no money to start my first company, Curvy Girls Lingerie.
Right.
And I needed to win some money, and I uh-huh. needed to win it fast because uh-huh. I didn't know any other way, and I really wasn't trying to sell myself on the streets of New York City.
You are too much.
I didn't want to sell myself on New York City. Nah, I wasn't trying to do that.
It's hard out there for
a pitch master. So I met a woman at the New York Public Library mm-hmm. who said she won $50,000 in prize money.
Right.
And I listened to her pitch and I was like, okay. I'd smoke her. And I didn't even know what I was talking about at the right. time. Entered myself into my first competition and won first place.
Right.
And I kept winning. And people were just so stunned that a 327-pound woman would get on stage.
What was that like for you being 307 pounds?
327. I was a size 28.
What was that like?
It was, you know what it was?
I mean, what's the difference? Okay, because I'll explain to you.
Because I'm 225 now.
Because I was I don't know what I am now, but like I was 220 at my highest. And I would always say, my arms are getting too short to wipe my own butt.
It
felt really difficult. And so when I lost the weight, I did notice that. So I had it like when I walked down the street, it was like ding a ling a ling a ling a ling a ling because I'm light and fluffy now, right? I'm
right,
like,
right, right. Light and fluffy.
But, right? But then when I was heavier, it was like dum 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 dum.
I always felt like I waddled. Like I just felt like I waddled.
I felt like I was digging holes into the ground, right? And I was just like pounding down the street. I mean, I wasn't, but that's compared to the amount of weight that I lost, that it just felt really weird.
Well, you know, I was dating a famous Hollywood actor who I'm not going to give up his name. I don't care what y'all say. I'm not. Mm-hmm. He's deceased now, but and he made me really look at myself in a totally different weight. Now, that's a lot of weight to carry.
Mm-hmm.
And he always used to say, if you eat cheap food, you got to wear expensive clothes because it hides a multitude of sins, right? And so I always looked nice. Right. It was just, it's a lot to carry.
Yeah.
And so
after. Were you healthy though?
No, I don't know too many 327 pound people who are
there
healthy.
There are some that can run.
They can run. I wasn't that chick. Okay. No, but it aided in Curvy Girls Lingerie. I mean, it really made sense that a woman my size would start something like
right.
that. Now, when I would go on stage or I would go into competitions, you know, people would snicker. Oh, she's going to talk about food. She's probably got some cupcakes and cookies and cakes and pies. And I didn't have none of that. And I would just go on stage and I'd be like, I'm ready to kill it. Right. I'm ready. It's like when I went out for the Black Enterprise Elevator Pitch Competition in Columbus, Ohio. I remember just, you know, being in the background, not talking to anybody because I had to be on my zone.
Right.
And when I hit that stage, I was like, they're not even ready. And I always tell people, it's your perceived flaws that are right. your secret weapon.
Right.
Because people never see you coming. Whoever pays attention to the big girl, nobody. She's funny.
I always find that, like, you know, in it's a very different experience in America.
Everybody
looks big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everybody looks big. You know, it's just like, But no, go ahead. I understand what you're saying. They're looking for what is she? They expect more.
Yes.
Yes.
Or I would even say less, because what was I going to come to the table with?
You think they expect less?
I think they expected me to talk about food. And so when I'm talking about being in a red hot relationship with a very famous Hollywood actor, they're looking at me like, that's incongruent. I'm right. Throw out a mathematical term. That's incongruent. And I'm like, and he likes it. And right. You know what? We do sexy, stylish, and fashion-forward lingerie for the over 40 million women size 14 or larger in the United States, just like me.
Right.
And we all want pretty underwear.
That's
you know?
Right. We all do.
We all do. And when I tell people all the time, underneath this is never a game. Never a game.
Oh, so it's usually pretty underwear under there.
It's pretty all the time under there.
Okay, great. Sometimes mine is naked.
Oh. It's still pretty all the time.
So you did the laundry, because I heard that you were on Shark Tank.
Yes, I was on Shark Tank season 8, 2016.
Mm-hmm. You were on Shark Tank. How did that go? What was that like?
It was wonderful because I had a private audition, so I never stood in line. I never had to worry about, having to trudge all of that lingerie and everything like that. And because I'd already prepared people for Shark Tank, you know, so it was nice to... It's nice to walk into an environment where they expected me to kill it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, flying out to LAX and going to Culver City, California, and showing up at Sony Picture Studios, it was like the five-year-old dream. Right. It was a five-year-old dream.
Under the pillow.
You see the Jeopardy, the Wheel of Fortune. Like, I sat there, and you can't take pictures.
Right.
And I was like, if I was only 20 years old, I wouldn't care, but I'm 30-something, and they're going to kick me off this, whatever. Right. But when I walked into the Shark Tank, when I walked into the tank, I remember looking at all of the sharks, and I heard that Nas song, "All I Need Is One Mic, One Mic." And as I looked at them, it's time. And I killed it. And they were literally just shocked. Right. And then, you know, I did my Beyonce thing. Okay, ladies, now let's get in formation. And then the door opened and my plus size models came through and they were looking so scrumptious.
Right.
And Mark Cuban was like, "You go, girl."
Right.
And then Robert Hershovich said, "You're a master salesman." And I really wanted to be like, "Can we cut? Can we cut?" Because I want people to hear that he told a black woman, a curvy black woman with a low-cut canary yellow peplum dress with a big old afro and extreme makeup, that she's a master at this.
Mm-hmm.
And when they found out, you know, I was an attorney, former attorney and all, they were just like, "Oh my goodness."
Right.
You know, and so going through the process, I never wanted the investment. I just wanted the exposure of proving that curvy girl from New York City can delight the sharks and kill it. And so it was amazing. It was amazing. They told me, "You ought to be more proud of yourself. You've come from the inner city of St. Louis, Missouri, and you're standing up here going toe-to-toe with the sharks."
It's Missouri.
I'm from Missouri.
Missouri.
No, I'm from Missouri. So, like...
Oh, Missouri.
It's from... Missouri.
Missouri.
Yes.
Okay. Good. No, I just love. I love the way you say it. I'm listening.
You're listening. Okay.
So tell me. So after Shark Tank, what happened? Because you had some, you know, breakdowns.
Yeah.
What happened?
So I got into a very bad disagreement with my business partner.
Mm-hmm.
I was a severe alcoholic. Mm-hmm. I could not survive without alcohol. I couldn't even wait.
So when did this actually start? Because you wanted to
So the actor died in 2013, right? And so, I started drinking, but it wasn't as severe as it was in 2016.
Right.
And let me back up. I also filmed a movie in 2015 in Santa Monica, California, Malibu, California, Milan, Italy, New York City.
Mm-hmm.
All of these things just from being able to pitch and being able to perform on camera. Even when I was filming, I was always intoxicated because I honestly did not believe that I deserved what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I'm that hood girl. Like, there are people, you see people in New York City who come here to make it big.
Right.
And you got a chick like me who just like, I just
thought
I could.
So you didn't feel that you were good enough.
I didn't feel I was good enough. I felt like.
Even Granny's, I'm telling
Granny's
you.
Granny's been
good
gone
enough.
Since 2000.
Oh.
And so for me, I felt like, I'm talented. I'm not pretty. I'm not these sort of things. And I just thought, with his death, who am I without all of that?
Right.
And so I drank out of control. And
so you drank to control.
I drank to control, and I drank to actually sleep and quiet the voices that were in my head. Mm-hmm. No, I don't hear voices, but you know what I mean.
Yes.
Those thoughts. I was dealing with a severe medical issue. And you know what? Honestly, I just wanted to die. I really did, because there's a part of me that died with him.
You were sad.
I was extremely sad. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't. And you know, when you do a Shark Tank, you have to be up and right. everything. Who were my friends? Who was really there for me, and who was there for the ride?
Right.
And in those moments where I had no alcohol, in those moments where God was trying to get to me, I felt like nothing.
Right.
My mom didn't want me. My dad didn't want me. My grandparents were deceased.
Well, they couldn't want you because they had their own problems.
Yeah, of course. And I'm of the age now, and I'm clean and sober to realize that now.
Right.
So it was a lot to deal with. And so I went to St. Louis, Missouri. I was staying with my cousin, Lil James. You know, I love you, Lil James. And I stopped taking my medication. Mm-hmm. I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder in 2004 when I was in law school. Mm-hmm. So I didn't take my medication for three months.
Because sometimes people are diagnosed and it's not necessarily so. Was it?
No, it was. I had a nervous breakdown April 12, 2004 in law school. Mm-hmm. Definitely. I was in the psych ward for 3 months.
Okay.
So I didn't take my medication in 2015 going into 2016 going into 2017. Mm-hmm. So when I went home to St. Louis, I made it my mission. I said, I'm going to die on my birthday. My birthday is going to be my birthday and my death date. So my 38th birthday would have been the end.
Right.
So my cousin left, and you know, I figured he was hanging with some little chick, and I took all my medication. I got his girl to, you know, get me a whole bunch of alcohol. A whole bunch of alcohol, and I just took it. And that's all I remember.
We'll come right back. Thank you for being so...
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Do you love... or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
And we're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And we are with Precious, the killer pitch master.
I love it.
So you had alcoholism. You weren't taking your medication. You were diagnosed bipolar. You were sad.
Yeah.
So what was it? Who did you have to be? I mean, like, how far down did you go?
I think that if rock bottom is the bottom, I was under rock bottom. Right. That's how bad it really, really right. was. It was so bad I wasn't taking showers. It was so bad that I didn't even realize I wasn't taking showers.
Right.
I didn't even realize that I wasn't even taking care of myself.
Right.
You're talking about hair. Did I have hair? My hair was falling out in clumps.
Right.
That's how much stress I was under. And I felt like, who can I talk to? Who can I run to? And I couldn't even talk to my cousin. My cousin and I used to sleep in the same bed at 16 years old and just talk. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't even talk to him because I thought I had to be on all the time.
Right. So you didn't know who you were.
I did not know who I was.
Right.
No, not at all.
You know, inside of my coaching, a lot of people come to me because they're in a space of they don't know who they are.
Mm-mm.
And it doesn't matter how old you are. They just don't know who they are. And they do know who they are, but it's actually to pull themselves back out, to really step into their power and not like try to be pleasing people. So yeah. Go ahead.
So were you
a people pleaser?
I was. And I thought that my achievements mm-hmm. were the reason why people liked me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always was about achieving. And mm-hmm. I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And that became, and I did that because, you know, my mom and my dad, I thought that if I can get the world to love me, mm-hmm. they would love me.
Right.
And that is a very warped childlike way of thinking. Right. And so when I woke up in the hospital, and my dad was there, and I haven't seen my dad in years.
Right.
And my dad and my aunt said, "Oh, you gained so much weight." I'm like, "Who says that when you just wake up out of the hospital?" But you know what? That is my auntie, so that's what she gonna say. And my dad was like, "I love you. I messed up, but that's no reason for you to mess up. You right. have so much to live for." And I didn't feel that way. I was so angry when I woke up. I was like, "I'm supposed to be dead." And it took 2 weeks of being on proper medication.
Right.
I remember I woke up 2 weeks later and I was like, I'm alive. Like I swear to you, it was like rainbows and little birds flying. I'm in right. psych ward. Not that little rainbows and psych right. wards were there. Little rainbows but it was amazing.
Right.
And I came alive in my groups and, you know, my friend, blanking on her name right now, but she had reached out to my aunt. She's like, I can't find Precious in New York. And my aunt was like, she's in a psych ward in St. Louis. And my
I would have just cried.
My friend was like, she went there to die. She said, I know Precious.
Right.
She said, we in New York know who she is.
Right.
And so she convinced my aunt and she's a social worker. Right, she's not just some random. But she convinced the hospital. She had Charity Cure pay for it. Because, you know, been in a psych ward for mm-hmm. as long as I was, mm-hmm. you know, that's a lot of money. They paid for everything. I was put on a Greyhound bus mm-hmm. and sent back to New York, where I went into crisis respite for 4 days. I spent...
Describe what a crisis respite
is. A place where you can spend a week if you have a mental health break.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of like nurse you back to health, but they give you the freedom to be an adult about right. it. So I was
you
in
get
crisis.
To choose.
You get to choose. Plus, you know, they cook for you. You have a nice place or whatever. And you're in Gramercy. I was in Gramercy.
Right.
How bad can it be in Gramercy?
Not bad.
Then I went into a shelter with the Missionaries of Charity, which you can stay there for 3 weeks while you try to get yourself together. I was there 9 days before I was admitted into the Bowery Mission Women's mm-hmm. Center. And to be honest with you, the Bowery Mission Women's Center is not a shelter. It's a right. life transformation program. It's right. a Christian, Christ-centered life transformation program. And let's be honest,
mm-hmm.
I lost every dollar I ever had.
Right.
My home, my clothes, everything. My jewels. I had nothing when I walked into the Bowery Mission.
Right. And were like a newborn baby.
I was like a newborn baby. And so when I walked in, I literally rode the train all night because I had no place to stay that
right.
night. I walked in so scared and so frightened. But you know, I'm a big girl, so you know, I didn't look scared and frightened.
And I had this
blue dress that I had been wearing for 2 weeks straight. My coat I've been wearing for 2 weeks straight. You know, it's probably standing up on end on me mm-hmm. too. And they were like, welcome home. And I wanted to break down, like, I haven't had a home and I don't even know how long. And they hugged me and they said, it's going to be okay. And I was like, but I've lost everything.
And they said, it's going to be okay.
And they said, it's going to be okay. And they took care of me. I learned how to cook. I was in discipleship classes. There's so much that I learned there. Mm-hmm. And I also learned that God loves me.
Mm-hmm.
And I am his princess.
Mm-hmm.
And that it doesn't matter what achievements I've had, mm-hmm. had, whatever. None of that matters.
Mm-hmm.
who I am as a person mm-hmm. matters. Mm-hmm. And so I had Miss Vivian, Joe Clary, Aura. Like, I had so many people in on staff who showed me who I was. Mm-hmm. And they were like, it doesn't matter that you're on Shark Tank. Mm-mm.
Shark Tank is not going to help you when you're riding the subway at nighttime.
No, not at all. Shark Tank wasn't there when you had to fight off men for an entire night on the subway.
Right.
Who you are matters. And if your mama don't love you, your daddy don't love you, your grandparents are deceased, we love you.
Right.
And so I was there for a year and a half. And do you know, I didn't tell, most people didn't even know it because I was so quiet. Mm-hmm. I wasn't on social media. I just kept it so quiet.
Right.
My friend Precious Frazier used to come and see me and she was like, babe, you're not going to be here too much longer. And I was like, I know. And so when I knew I was graduating, I left September 1st, 2018.
Right.
And September 1st, 2019 just passed. And I was...
Because you went to visit.
I went to visit. And they were like, oh my God, you've done so much. And I was like, if it wasn't for y'all breathing, if it wasn't for God and y'all breathing life into me, people think, oh, I just get speaking engagement. Oh, no, I was in stealth mode. I was in stealth mode, letting God tell me what to do and not telling people and just doing things. And to go back to the Bowery Mission, I didn't go into the Women's Center, right. but the Bowery Mission, and to see my picture on the wall.
Right.
And to remember that day I was hugging on one of my friends in the program, and I was like, this is permanently here. I'm not ashamed. I used to be ashamed, right. and I'm not ashamed. I want people to see that and know a year ago I was homeless. I live in
a year ago?
Yeah, because when you're in a Bowery right. Mission, you are considered there for homeless. A year. Okay. Yeah, I was there a year and a half.
Right.
I was there from February 28, 2017 to September
1st, 2018. Right.
And, you know, yeah, and I had clients. I was doing a whole lot of things
right.
just to show it doesn't matter.
Right. That was your address.
That was just my address. And so now I live in a beautiful blue home in Brooklyn, and my pastor from Trinity Baptist Church, he saw something in me and he wanted me to come stay with him and his family in this big, beautiful blue home in Midwood, Brooklyn. And of course, that makes you cry because it's like, I never thought.
You didn't think anybody loved you.
I didn't think anybody loved me enough to take me out of a program to give me my own space, my own place in your home. I don't even see them in the house. I'm on the third floor. I don't right. see them. Right. I have my own space. It is my own apartment. That's it. And I live light. I live nicely. You see those pictures? Right. Wrap around porch chronicles, rooftop chronicles. And I get to live the life I want to live right. now. There is no, I haven't had a drink since January 22nd, 2017.
Mm-hmm.
I never drugged, but, mm-hmm. And I have such a great support system from the Bowery Mission, from the volunteers that came to the program, from... I look up sometimes and I'm like, I'm teaching at Microsoft.
Right.
Do y'all know a year ago I had no place to live?
That's okay. You did have an address.
I had an address, but I never thought. And so I want everyone to know that it doesn't matter where you are. And again, reading Think and Grow Rich mm-hmm. about the man who went up to Thomas Edison and said, you know, I want to work with you. And I think I had that desire.
Right.
I'm the killer pitch master. And I've been that since 2013.
Right.
And it didn't matter what my address was. I'm still going to be the killer pitch master.
That's right.
When I go to Biloxi, Mississippi, at the Success Women's Conference, the Tech Conference, the WOW Experience, I'm still the killer pitch master.
Right. And who used to be. Your past is your past.
My past is my past.
But your past is only, you're using your past to inspire and motivate other people.
Definitely. And I think that when we're more transparent and authentic about what's mm-hmm. happened, it allows people to know that it wasn't this perfect story.
Right.
It's not meant to be perfect.
A perfect story.
But I think when we see people in magazines and on television,
yeah, but
we think,
don't know.
We don't know their
an
story.
An overnight success is not overnight.
It's like 10 years. It's like 10 years yeah. in the making. Yes. Yeah. Yes. So I want people to know that, you know, I had an address and I had love and I have support. And it's just wonderful to be in this space and in this place. And I am in New York City and I never wanted to leave, you know, and I came here to make it big.
So let me, I always ask my clients, like, mm-hmm. what was missing?
What was missing?
What was missing in your space? Because you said that your parents were you know, alcoholics and drug addicts, right? Mm-hmm. And what I do know with when I have clients that say, I don't want to be like my parents, what they're saying is, I don't want to be like my parents, but they don't create another plan. Do you get that? Like, you don't have a plan for who are you going to be like?
So my mother was cold and abusive. Mm-hmm. My father was aloof and distant. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, when I look back, of course, what was missing was love, mm-hmm. but attention, mm-hmm. and also just, I didn't know what my purpose was.
Okay.
So knowing what my purpose is now, for knowing that my story isn't about me, mm-hmm. it's about the women who come behind me and the mm-hmm. children that come behind me. It's the reason why I get up every morning.
Well, do you realize, look, what I'm hearing is that your purpose, you had your purpose mm-hmm. from the very beginning, right?
Yes.
Like the speaking.
Yes.
You know, that kind of stuff. That was your purpose. But it's recognizing that you had a purpose.
Yes.
Because a lot of people have purpose, but they don't recognize that they have. So we're seeking something that we already are.
True.
Because life occurs from the inside out. It doesn't occur from the outside in.
That is so true.
And when we live from the outside in, that's when we get into problems or challenges.
Right.
Yeah. So you actually are now living from the inside out.
I am. I used to think this success is, you know, the trapping success, the success, the materials and right. all of that. I'm like, no, it's really an internal.
It's just a marker.
Yeah, it
but
is.
It really is about, you know, I had a client today say to me, I feel really good. I feel really happy. And I feel, because before he was feeling anxious and nervous, he wanted to create this business and, you know, he's creating the business, but it's about creating yourself first.
Yes.
So that the business can come through you, not outside in.
Yes.
And that's like what I see a lot of people do, looking for business out there rather than being business from the inside out. Living life and then living into that purpose.
It's so funny you said that. I was on a Zoom call with one of my clients, and we were getting ready to have a lesson, and then something just told me, let's just have a conversation. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the most breathtaking, honest, authentic conversations I've ever had in my life. And it broke down barriers. So she saw me as more than just mm-hmm. Precious, the killer pitch master. I'm like, Precious.
Right. You're
regular
human.
Regular chick.
Human.
Human.
Yeah. Human and being.
I'm a human being.
Because you used to be a human doing.
Yes. Yes.
And now you're a human being.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, very much so.
And that's why you followed your instincts and said, let's just have a conversation.
Yes.
Because life occurs inside of conversations.
Yes, it does. It
doesn't occur any other way.
No.
And to get to know her, you had to allow her to know you.
Yes.
So we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at talkingalternative.com.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
So we're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way with Precious, the killer pitch master. And first, before I go on, I just want to say thank you so much for being so open and honest, because this conversation is real. And I like to keep things in the real, real.
Yes.
Because there's somebody out there that is doing what you did or needs some little kernel of what you're saying today. And I hope that this conversation will generate them to like either put down a drink or pick up a book or, you know, something. Or maybe some woman is watching this and their kid is in the background. And the kid is learning that, oh, she did it. You know, her mommy wasn't so nice. My mommy's not so nice. And maybe it can transform their life. So thank you very much for being on the call. So what did I ask you? There was a question I was going to ask you. Anyway, forget that. I can't go into my memory banks and figure out what I'm trying to ask you. So we have a couple of questions here. So what's one thing you know about business for sure in 6 years? It's 6 years in.
What's one thing I know about business?
Yes.
There's no point in being in business if you don't think you can be the best at it.
Okay.
No point. No point.
Okay, say a little bit more about that.
So when I started Perfect Pitches by Precious, it was to prove once and for all that I can help women entrepreneurs get out of their own way and create the type of atmosphere, create the type of noise and buzz that would really get them out there in a major way, because I had to do that for myself. And I didn't want to just prove it for myself. I wanted to prove it for every woman that I ever came across.
Right.
So if you're struggling with this whole thing of, I'm not good enough, let's get out of your own way and let's focus on your strengths. I'm not here for the weaknesses. I'm here for the strengths, and let's go kick ass together.
I'm not going to ask you the question about because you knew this at 3 or 4 that you were the precious pitch master. So what is your secret sauce?
My secret sauce is never look back and never think twice. My secret sauce is that I just do not give up. And I have a line sister. She's my 16. And she says, it's impossible to stop a man who will not quit. And I will not quit.
Okay, cool. Great. And what is? Why do you focus mostly on helping and coaching and training women?
Because
specialty.
Because I see us beyond what we look like. Sometimes when I'm walking down the street in Harlem or in Brooklyn, I see so many women who they look good, but they're dead inside because they're not living.
Not present.
They're not living.
Alive.
It's like that line in a Nicki Minaj song, Moment for Life. Everybody dies, but not everybody lives.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to live.
Me too.
And I want you to live.
I'm here to live and live fully.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Like,
really? I didn't live fully when I was all about success and I was all about the trappings of success. I live fully now.
So basically, my mother would say you had to get on your face.
Yes.
Before you saw the value of who you were.
Yes.
And who you are.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so it makes a profound, I'm sure it makes a profound difference in your life. And people that knew you then and know you now,
they see a big difference.
Right.
A big difference. One, not slurring my words. Number two, I'm so
I can't even imagine you slurring your words with the accent from
I know. And then they're like, you're so present in the conversations.
Right.
Like you're not thinking of anything else, but you're just here.
Right.
You know, when I wake up in the mornings, I like to say, you know, like you'll see something like Stephanie. Stephanie's one of my newest clients. But she's the awesome. Hey, Stephanie. I'll text her. I'll be like, Stephanie, good morning. Terry, good morning. And they're like, this chick be wilding at 6 o'clock in the morning. This chick is wilding, but they love it because they grow to expect it because that you're on my mind.
Right.
My clients are on my mind and I want you to know you're loved, you're honored, and you're appreciated. And you don't have to work with me.
Right.
You can work with a whole lot of other
people,
but they won't show you what I'll show you.
Right. Well, they're not supposed to.
And they're not supposed to.
They'll show you what they've got.
They'll show you what they've got.
Right.
And I'm going to show you that no matter how you are loved, and it feels so good to be loved.
So what is your, like, if you could have anything right now, what would that be for yourself in your life?
The first thing that came to mind was my grandmother.
Well, you can't have that.
I can't have her.
Technically, she hasn't really gone anywhere.
She hasn't gone anywhere, but I just want to kiss her feet. And I'd say thank you for being the baddest woman I've ever met in my life, and for speaking life into an unwanted child and giving me a reason to live. If I could have anything else, it would be to eradicate homelessness.
Okay.
Because once you've truly experienced it, it's not something that you can get a job. No, you won't be like that.
Right.
You will be so concerned with your fellow man, mm-hmm. and making sure that they know that that doesn't have to be the end,
mm-hmm.
and that they have value. And that value transcends whether they have a job or not,
right.
whether they can do something for you or right. not. So I would want to eradicate homelessness and to let people know that no matter how far down the totem pole you are, you have value and you are loved.
And you, as somebody would say, you are somebody.
You are somebody. What?
Yeah, you totally are.
Yes.
So, what if you could have one thing today, that one thing, I don't know, what would that be? Would something, I mean, I know you've probably been to the space where I don't really need anything other than what I have. And you are everything.
Well,
what's that one thing?
I am a talk show host.
Okay.
So I cannot wait until I am an internationally syndicated talk show host.
Mm-hmm.
That would be awesome. And I know it's coming because God gave me that vision as a little girl. And also, I would love to be able to send 5 young people a year to college,
mm-hmm.
and teach them how to become entrepreneurs and write their own paychecks.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
So I think we're coming to the end, right, of the show. We got 4 more minutes.
Whoa!
Do you have any other questions that you would, because I usually do this with clients.
Okay.
Is there a question that you would like me to ask you? So you tell me what it is and I'll ask you.
Okay. You could ask me, what do I have going on right now? Anything, I have anything coming up?
Okay. So Precious, what do you have going on right now that you'd like to pitch?
Okay. So I have a book coming out October 28th. It's mm-hmm. called Bad Bitches and Power Pitches for Women Entrepreneurs and Speakers Only.
Uh-huh.
It is, I enjoyed writing the book, but I really will enjoy women, especially reading the book and realizing that there are 7 branding bitches inside of every powerful woman.
Mm-hmm.
And that in order to really win at the game of life, business, career, and everything, you really have to take the brakes off of everything that you do and go full force. So when you're reading this book, you will see how I was able to transcend homelessness and everything like that. But you will also be able to look at other powerful women and look at what decisions did they make in their lives that truly made a difference in becoming who they were to. So when I say you got to be a bad bitch with a power pitch, that is how you can make it. So
how do you keep yourself motivated daily?
How do I keep, you know what? My clients do that.
Uh-huh.
And my clients do that. And also once I realized what my purpose was, not, it's always been there, but once mm-hmm. I realized what my purpose was, that gets me up.
Right.
That gets me up. It's like, okay, I'm good. You know, when I have my sales calls, or when I'm, you can already see I have my LinkedIn, my Facebook, mm-hmm. all of this is open, and I keep it open mm-hmm. because it lets me know that I do have value and right. I do enhance the lives of other people.
What do you do to relax?
Girl, chill. I go and kick it hard with my girlfriends, mm-hmm. and we have good, clean fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, I just graduated from the AMP NYC program, which was mm-hmm. through the mayor's office for media and entertainment professionals.
Mm-hmm.
We went up to Tuxedo, New York, and went canoeing.
Mm-hmm.
We were on the lake, and we were just having such a good time, just enjoying each other's company. No cell phones,
right.
no electronics. It
right.
was beautiful. I love going to new restaurants with my girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I enjoy sleep.
Right.
I enjoy sleep.
I'm guessing that when massages. You go to sleep, you like that scrunching on the pillow because you're like, well,
listen,
out.
I'm done.
Right.
I am done. But you know, I wake up multiple times a night. And so when people get these text messages,
you they wake never, up at night.
I wake up multiple times
and
a night.
And texting at night.
I do. It's ridiculous. I know some of y'all are like, yeah, Precious does do that. And it's never drunk messages. It's just like, hey, girl, are you up? Oh, okay, you ain't up. Okay, I'll holler at you at 7. Yeah, my brain stays open.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you meditate at all?
I don't meditate, but I spend time in the morning really talking with God.
Right.
And just being incredibly grateful.
Uh-huh.
Because I realize some people don't have suicide attempts. They have suicides.
Yes.
Mine was an attempt.
Yes.
And I'm still here.
You're still
here. Which means I still have purpose.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
You have purpose until the day you die.
Yes.
Naturally.
Naturally. Naturally. Yeah.
So is there any, would you like to pitch something, like give them the website? How can they reach you?
Yes. Okay. And so my website is www.perfectpitchesbyprecious.com. You can reach me at, you can also text me at 646-592-5888. You can check me out on LinkedIn. I'm Precious Williams on LinkedIn. On Twitter, I'm twitter.com/perfectpitchp. On Instagram, I'm instagram.com/perfectpitchesp. On October 17th, I have a Perfecting Your Pitch workshop at the Luminary. And in December, we're going to have our first Bad Bitches and Power Pitches workshop. And stay tuned because it's about to get all the way live.
So Precious, thank you so much for being on Beyond Potential. Live life your way. And thank you so much for being what did you say? You are on the grind and
thirsty on the grind.
Thirsty on
thirsty
the grind.
Thirsty on the grind.
Thank you for being thirsty on the grind, and thank you for joining us this week.
Thank you so much.
So bye to Precious's friends, and bye to people on Beyond Potential. Live life your way. This is Noreen Sumter signing off. Have a great week. Bye bye.
Bye, everybody.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at talkingalternative.com.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.